Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
The truth about gender ideology, a second railroad company decides to strike. It's a Deep Dive Thursday. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Patrick Oney. Yes, at the Pat Oney Show, at the Coppins Show, criticalthinkingshow.com. And of course, you can follow this show by watching us every single Monday through Friday over at our Rumble page, rumble.com/criticalthinking, rumble.com/criticalthinking, rumble.com/criticalthinking.
Did you just use my full name?
Yes, I did, to see if you were paying attention.
Why would you do that?
A little bird told me that you enjoy when people call you Patrick.
No, that's not probably what the little bird told you. I mean, I don't care if people do. My wife does.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother, on the other hand, insists that people call me by my full name. Because that supposedly is my name. It's not Pat. I'm like, you realize it's a little easier to roll off the tongue in radio, right? And she's like, I don't care. It's your full name. Mind you, everybody on my dad's side of the family calls me Pat too. So it's just like,
as long as they're not calling you late for dinner.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Somebody doesn't like being called Patrick.
I don't really care, to be honest.
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. Do you like to be called Andrew or Andy? And professionally, I think Andrew works better. So I do that. It sounds more dignified, if you will, than sure. Andy. Now, I will say this. Do not ever call me Drew. Do not.
Okay, Drew.
I'm going to fly to Utah and punch you directly in the mouth.
Curious, what's wrong with Drew?
If my parents wanted to name me Drew, they would have named me Drew. You're lopping off half of my name. And more importantly, growing up, when I was very young, there was a Drew that until we got to, like, I think fifth grade graduation, never knew that he was an Andrew as well. And then decided that we were going to be best friends because we were both Andrews and he was really annoying and terrible. So.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Drew is actually, I mean, most people that I knew as Drew growing up, I mean, their full name was Andrew. And how is Andrew, just out of curiosity, how is Andrew going by Drew cutting off half your name and Andy not cutting off half your name?
It's not cutting off the front half of that name. And more importantly, the individual who shared that name with me was super awful. Have you ever had that, like, growing up, somebody goes by either Pat or Patrick, and you go, nope, can't do that anymore. Yeah, that was me. I'm not going by Drew. You are not doing that to me. And if my parents wanted to call me Drew, they would have. End of story, Pat. Trick.
Okay. It just the logic isn't there, but whatever. You know,
it's not about
you like
logic.
What you like.
It's about feelings, Pat. It's about feelings, not about logic. Speaking of which, it is time for us to deep dive on this Thursday into logic versus feelings. And over the course of the last week or so, Matt Walsh has made a ton of headlines, really over the last couple of months, and really over the last 6 months, if we really want to go back to when he came out with What is a Woman, right? The documentary.
Yeah.
Asking a very vital question of our society, apparently, today. Some would have suggested just 5 years ago that would have been a mockumentary. But no, this was a real thing, right? But over the course of these last 6 months, we've really been introduced to gender ideology and gender theory, right? And that's ultimately where Matt Walsh kind of exposed this, right? This is some sort of an academic theory that we're supposed to have to put into practice in a larger societal construct, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have talked about this from the perspective of, I look at this, it is as simple as there's a objective reality and these people's subjective reality. Objective reality is the truth. It is pursuit of the truth. There is a definitive objective goal here. Okay. There is not an objective. There is objective truth. Because they're different, right? Subjective truth is my truth, my feelings. I think, therefore, this is the truth. No, this is not a way for society to operate in any way, shape, or form. This is not constructive. This is destructive to our society. Am I wrong, Pat? Please help me.
No, not at all. Nope, you are not wrong.
So we've seen this, but over the past week or so, Matt Walsh has led three big things. Number one, he had that rally in Nashville, basically wanting to ban transing all the kids, if you will, in terms of actual surgery to lop off breasts and tits and bits, as I like to call it, right? Mm-hmm, Lopping them off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do that to kids. That's gender mutilation, and that's child mutilation, more importantly. So he does that. The quote-unquote trans community, which oftentimes isn't people who are trans at all, by the way. Have you noticed that? It's all the allies.
It's weird.
Right? Very weird thing to be caring about, if you will, if you are not trans yourself. It is weird, very weird in my viewpoint. Now, you do you as an adult, that's fine. You want to protest this, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you, right? But I am going to say this, Pat. Matt Walsh has done a great job of exposing the insanity of these people, right? We talked about this earlier this week. With the story of people ripping up and then eating the Bible. Now, I'm going to have, fast forward to tomorrow, I'm going to have a response to this as my best story of the week.
Okay.
Because there's more to the story than just ripping up some random Bible and eating it. Okay? So I want people to understand that. But we've exposed their insanity. We have exposed them for being the radicals that they are. But my question has always been, what the hell do they actually believe in? Like, what are the core principles and tenets, if you will, of what they actually believe? What we're supposed to believe is reality based on their subjective truth, right?
Right.
So Matt Walsh put an article together, or the Daily Wire did, and Matt Walsh has kind of dealt with four big topics, and I wanted to kind of go into these as well because I think it's important for us to understand, if you will, the barbarians that are at our gate, or the radicals amongst us. Because if you don't understand it, they will run you over. Because that's exactly what they want to do. They don't want you as a part of society. They believe you to be a danger to society. Because to them, objective truth is a danger to society. So we're going to go through those here in the first part of the show. We're going to deep dive into them. And the very first tenet or core principle, if you will, is that sex and gender are not identical. Pat, for me, this one is as simple as, I think we've talked about this one a little bit, but for me, they are identical in so much as, what are they trying to, or what are they attempting to do? They are attempting to strip biology and sociology from each other, right?
Right. Whereas one is a they're trying to say one is a biological construct, the other one is a social construct.
Correct.
Right.
Except for they get the idea of gender wrong. Gender is a linguistic construct. Gender is meant to help us understand how we are speaking to each other and whom we are speaking about, right?
Right, right. It's why you have like if you look at the French language, for example, you have a feminine and masculine form based upon who you are talking to and what you're talking about.
Now, Matt Walsh points out some really good things on the sex gender separation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him. I don't have any use for the term gender other than in a linguistic form. English is different in that we use direct gendering of language, right? Like we're going to say she, he, him, you know, they, them, right? Now, if you were to go into Germanic languages or Romance languages, right? The gendering of language is in how you change a word. Right? It is difficult for somebody who's only learned English as an adult to get foreign languages, especially Romance languages, because it's hard for us to process how to gender a word. That doesn't exist in the English language. We use prepositional gendering, right? We use gendering of nouns or prepositions, but we don't use the actual verb as a gendered thing.
Right.
So he says that he's got no use for the term gender. And again, I would look to this. Where did this term come from? For the vast majority of my life, the only time I've ever heard this is in learning of a foreign language, right? When I took German class, you learned how to gender nouns and prepositions and verbs.
Right.
You learn how to do it because, like, they, them, there is different for men and women. How you would address that. Or a feminine and masculine. And that's the thing with the gendered language. It's not necessarily male and female. It is feminine and masculine in most languages.
Right.
That's not gender, per se, but it is a linguistic construct. But he points out that it is the people who advocated for that split of sex and gender before they actually collapse it, right? Like, think about today, right? We're not supposed to be able to tell a man and a woman apart anymore, right?
Right.
Okay. So gendering is if what? In their social construct, right? It is that men and women are interchangeable. You can be fluid and move out of manhood and womanhood, and one day you feel like a man, the next day you feel like a woman, and I'm supposed to address you as that, right? And it's all a social linguistic construct, right? And therefore, it's a fluid situation. But as Matt Walsh points out, if you did still affirm a definitional distinction between sex and gender, and this is a key point, then you would also have to affirm that there is, in this world, a binary category of men and women, of male and female, and that those who belong to one group cannot cross into the other. There is a distinction between the two, whether you like that or not. You are still making the distinction. Whether you believe in the fluidity of the feminine and the masculine social construct, if you will. I love this point. You are arguing that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. And you have to gender them correctly. But you're still believing there's a binary construct. Yet gender theory and transgender activists, right? They won't affirm that position. Because there's no distinction between a trans woman and a woman, right? To them, there's no distinction. It's just a sleight of hand. That's what this is. This is to get you to try to accept some sort of a construct, a social construct that doesn't exist in objective reality. Right, Pat? Like, for me, like, I look at this from that same perspective. Even if I'm to accept your premise that people can become a male or a female, right, in a trans way, you're still telling us there's the binary of a man and a woman. So, well,
I mean, it's not wrong.
Here's the key rub in this, Pat. What we have done is, because I have a more feminine or a more masculine personality or social traits, or I'm a tomboy, right? Or I'm more frissy, if you will, right? Suddenly, I have to now be labeled as I'm a man or I'm a woman. What we're really talking about is personality. As Matt Walsh says, I see only men and women, males and females. Each individual in their group could have a different way of being expressing, of being and expressing themselves and understanding the world. I 100% agree with that, right? That is very true. But we don't need the word gender to describe it, because that is actually called personality. What we're really telling the world is that personality is now sex, and sex is now personality. No.
Well, and it brings up the question of, as you're going through adolescence and puberty, were you able to navigate through all of the changing of hormones and emotions that are happening within your body during that time period? And did you have parents or a support system of some kind to help you navigate through those things? I mean, it's one of those things, I think, if you're not careful with it and you don't try to understand it, you know, it becomes distorted by what we are now seeing in our society, right? You feel you're a man and you feel more feminine. You must be gay and or a woman. Right? That's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. There are feminine men. There are masculine women. There are, you know, like you said, the tomboy, right? There's, I mean, I have a sister-in-law. She does not like to wear dresses. Mm-hmm. She's not gay. Mm-hmm. She just, you know, she's just more more masculine that way.
Right.
There is just, when we're talking about a social construct, are we understanding how our emotions and our how we've gone through all of the puberty and adolescence and how that plays a role into that social construct, and how do we direct that? And I think what's ultimately happened is you have those in academia and those that are pushing this radical ideology that are pushing this and making it more and more into a fad to where it's becoming more and more accepted by those that aren't trans, by the way.
Right. And so, ultimately, what I am finding here, Pat, is if you take a look at the gender theory, the trans ideology, whatever you want to call it, okay, you look at the crowd, are they or are they not pigeonholing people into you must fit into category XYZ?
Yes, they are.
They're pigeonholing people into it based off of personality traits versus biological realities. The affirmation that they're seeking is actually pigeonholing people. If you are this way, you must identify as this and you know, blah, 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 blah. They're ultimately putting you into buckets and they're not treating you as an individual.
Right.
It's very simple. Okay, you're a little bit different than the norm. So what? Everybody is in some way, shape, or form. As you go
right
on in life, as you find out, like, are there social constructs and social norms? Yes. Maybe people are different than those. But, if you like Magic the Gathering at the age of 40, right? Okay, that was a game that I played growing up or tried to play, didn't get it. Don't care for it. I was a sports guy more than a fictional fantasy card game guy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But hey, that's you. You do you, right? If you're still 40 years old and whooping ass at Magic the Gathering events, I personally, little strange.
Go for it.
But go for it, right? Mm-hmm. You do you, bro. But would I label you a pedophile? No. Right? But that's exactly what the trans and gender ideology or gender theory people would have you believe, right? If you are different than the norm, you must become this other social construct. That's ultimately what they're saying.
Not to mention, you know, when people are trying to go through this whole gender transition ideology type deal, how many of them, I wonder, have had problems with anxiety, depression, other mental illnesses that they never got help for because there's a taboo or a stigma when it comes to addressing these kinds of topics, feelings,
mm-hmm.
You know, et cetera. You know, and then the end result becomes I go through and I self-mutilate myself to make myself feel better, which isn't the answer.
But we see that in normal society anyway with plastic surgery and yada, yada, yada. Right. I mean, take a look at Kim and Kourtney Kardashian, right? Could you tell who they were today from pictures 10 years ago? No, because they look like completely different people. Why? I have no idea what's going on in their heads. I would suggest that there's a lot of psychological trauma and damage in their heads, and that's
right
manifesting itself this way. But I'm not a psychologist. I just happened to have slept at a Holiday Inn last night.
Right. I'm just asking these questions. I'm not saying one way or the other. How many?
Because we should get into this. The second objection to the objective reality position of Matt Walsh, right, is this, that you say that women can get pregnant. But what about women that cannot get pregnant? Because the argument that Matt Walsh uses is that the definition of a woman is a female with biological reproductive parts that would allow them to become pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty basic biological definition, right?
Pretty, yeah.
I mean, it's inartful, if you will. But if we're – without getting into the technical biological – language and all that stuff, that is a good social way of putting it, right? What's a man? A man is somebody of male characteristics who can who has male reproductive organs, who can reproduce. So their argument is, well, what if a woman can't get pregnant? Are they not a woman? This for me is the dumbest of the objections to the objective reality of biology, right?
Right.
So Matt Walsh does this, Pat. And I think this is a great, great example. Humans are often if you were to biologically describe a human, right, one of the immutable characteristics is that we're a biped, right? That we're bipedal. It makes us distinctly different than other biological cousins, if you will, right? Chimpanzees are not bipedal, for instance, right? They use all four of their limbs to move. We don't, right? We're not on our hands and feet moving where chimps are, gorillas, you know, that type of stuff, right? When we look at the biologically, genetically close cousins of humankind, right? Okay, so somebody is an infant. Infants can't walk. They crawl first before they can walk. Are they not humans then? Is somebody has to have a leg amputated? Are they not human anymore? Naturally speaking, unless there is a issue at birth, right? We naturally come with two legs, right? Unless there's a deformity, a disease, an accident.
Right.
Those humans without two legs should have had two legs. They're still humans. So what if a woman can't get pregnant, Pat? Does that make her not a woman? No, because her sex organs, right? The organs of biology. Well, what if she was born without ovaries? Again, she was supposed to have been born with them. That is a deformity. That is a situation of biology.
There's a reason why we also have chromosomes that that assign us our gender, right?
No, they don't women assign us our gender. They assign us our sex.
Sorry, sex. Okay, you're correct. Excuse me. Language, right?
It does matter here.
Right, it does matter. You're right. So women are born with the XX chromosome. Men have the XY. You know, it's a biological thing that helps determine what your sex is. And so to say that, well, if a woman can't have babies or is born without ovaries, isn't a woman, would be inaccurate. Because if she still has the XX chromosome, she is still fundamentally a woman.
And not only that, but Pat, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of women who have biological issues getting pregnant.
Right.
And that has been the case throughout humankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just know more about why that happens, right? There are biological realities, right? So for instance, right, if a woman goes to the doctor and is having trouble getting pregnant, right? It is likely that the doctor can pinpoint or eventually pinpoint the issue that leads to this, whether that's biological or a disease or a diet or whatever have you, right? She should be able to get pregnant. A man goes to the doctor and says, I can't get pregnant. The doctor's going to look at the man and say, no shit, Sherlock, because you don't have the bits to be able to do that. It's impossible. Can you impregnate a woman? Yes, you can. But you have no ability, zero zilch, nada. Even if you were to trans and lop stuff off and do a vaginoplasty, right? You still could not get pregnant because you don't do what, Pat? Produce the things that help in that process.
Right.
It is a biological reality. Again, this is insane. Well, what about the women who can't get pregnant? No, no shit. But they still should be able to. They have all of the equipment to be able to, including, so for instance, one great example of this is somebody who can't produce eggs, right? Does that make them not a woman and suddenly they're a man? No, That's what you're arguing if you use this as the objective to objection to objective reality when it comes to sex.
Well, go back to when Matt Walsh was on Dr. Phil, and he brought up the point of, you know, 100 years from now, when we're all bones, they can be able to tell which one was a man and which one was a woman. We won't know what they thought in the head, but we can tell based on their bones of which was which.
Absolutely. So, Pat, here's what I want to do. We still have two more of these arguments to get through. So before we get into them, I want to play the bee or not the bee. And yeah, I think that's the route that we should go. Cool okay, with you?
Let's do it.
So normally, Pat, here on the bee or not the bee, we're gonna play a game, right? We're gonna have a little bit of fun and see if we have the Babylon bee or not the bee. But today we're gonna forego that. Okay. This is still brought to you by coffeebrandcoffee.com, by the way. Coffeebrandcoffee.com, go check it out. They've got some really great fall flavors out there for you. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. This is about supporting a business that just wants to do coffee. They don't want to involve politics. They don't want to involve a political bent, right? They just want objective reality, if you will. And they just want to do coffee good. More importantly, this is a small batch roaster. They don't roast and then have it sitting in bins and they go pick the bin. No, they roast it as you order it. So you're going to get high quality, fresh roasted coffee at coffeebrandcoffee.com. Enter the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout for 5% off of your purchase. Again, that's coffeebrandcoffee.com. 5% off of your purchase with Critical Thinking at checkout. But we're going to forego that, Pat, because this is going to be not the B. But is there anything better? This is my question to you, Pat. Is there anything better than an Allie Beth Stuckey parody?
No, because she is an absolutely lovely, lovely person and also very funny.
And if you ever wonder how a Christian can do comedy, this is the Democrats' campaign commercial for 2022.
Hi, I'm the spokesperson for the Democratic Party, and I'm here to tell you why you need to vote blue this November. It's been a crazy few years, and after getting that former guy out of office through totally legitimate means, we've finally been able to get some work done for the American people. Led by our vivacious president, the country is better off than it was before. Sure, you can't afford to feed your family, but let's take a step back and look at the big picture. The first priority for our devoutly Catholic president is to make it easier to dismember babies in the womb. Empathy. Our foreign policy has been, well, perfect. Just a few months after Joe Biden took office, America brought Afghanistan back to its tribal roots, reviving their classic culture. Some people criticize our immigration policy, which is basically to incentivize poor migrants to cross the border by refusing to enforce the law and promising them free stuff. The only way we'll change our policy is if Texas border towns keep turning red. In that case, we'll have a wall up faster than you can say, see, say, Podway. Look, I could go all day listing the accomplishments of this administration and the Democratic Party, but why not listen to our voters instead? Here's what they have to say. Not being able to afford to eat out, go on vacation, or pay our electricity bills has really brought our family together. Literally, we had to move from our four-bedroom house to a studio apartment. Thank you, Joe. Thanks to you, my daughter is the number one girls tennis player in the world. Congrats, honey. I don't know what I'd do without Democrats and the teachers' unions. With their help, I get to spend all day telling white kids to hate themselves. Thanks. Democrats' COVID policies forced me to shut down, and honestly, it's fine. It's great. It's great. I'm great. I'm doing well. Things are really good. It's better this way, actually. I'm fine. I'm so glad Joe Biden forced me to.
There's still two more minutes of this to go. So if you want to check out the full video, go find it on YouTube or her social media or The Blaze. But oh my God, I love that. My my daughter's the number one tennis player in the world. It's a dude with a full beard and an absolute great mustache. Oh, that is fantastic stuff.
Which was your favorite? I love the comment about I love the comment about border towns and saying, well, if border towns continue to go red, we'll have that wall up faster than you could say "Si se puede."
That is by far my favorite Jill Biden moment of all time. Si se puede. Oh, Lord Almighty. Oh. All right. So I figured we needed a little levity in and amongst the deep thinking here on a deep thought or deep thinking Thursday, deep dive Thursday. So with that out of the way,
automatic $100 from Dominic Izzo's totally illegitimate Ponzi scheme, MLM money, right?
Right. Totes legit.
Mm-hmm.
Totes legit. So I figured we can get back to the Matt Walsh, right?
Okay.
So the third objection that often comes up in this conversation about gender ideology and sex and gender, right, from the gender theory crowd, from the transgender activist crowd, is that trans people have existed throughout history across the world. The binary is a Western construct. This has got to be, for me, the absolute dumbest argument out of all of them. The dumbest objection to the objective reality that there's such a thing as a man and a woman biologically, and to suggest anything else is antithetical to reality. These people want us to believe, right, that this is some sort of a construct that we've created in Western society, that the rest of the world accepts that trans people have existed. These people tend to, in my view, Pat, live in a Western bubble. They live in the Western academia bubble. They have never exposed themselves to anybody of any other culture other than their Western academia lifestyle, if you will. It's very
not
clear.
Not to mention. So let's just say for 1 second that there were people throughout history that were trans, right? And that it's always existed since the beginning of time. Can you prove that?
A great example of this was actually in his documentary "What Is a Woman?" when he went to Kenya to visit the Maasai tribe, right?
Right.
They looked at him like he was crazy when he suggested that a woman is a man and a man is a woman and a man can get pregnant. So we're supposed to believe, according to the gender ideology crowd, right? The gender theory crowd, that the rest of the world believes in the trans construct, right?
Right.
No, they don't. Well, there were men who played women's roles in Native American tribes, and all over the world you can see that. Right, but did you ever bother to think that they still knew that that person was a man? That maybe they played feminine roles, and that was the thing, right? A feminine role in their society, in their culture, but they still knew objectively this was a man. Did they ever stop to think that for one freaking second? But Andrew, the Native American two-spirit identity. Right, two-spirit. The key word there is spirit, right, Pat?
Right.
And Matt Walsh put this the best way possible on this one. There has never been a culture before ours that believed that men could have babies. Such madness is uniquely modern. Nobody before us was stupid enough to believe that. It took the most educated and technologically advanced civilization in history to come up with this fantastic bullshit.
He's not wrong on that one.
So he also points this out. Furthermore, Walsh noted that if trans people did exist in large numbers throughout history, but were not affirmed by any of these cultures, then the logic of gender affirmative care, that should mean that a great many of those unaffirmed trans people historically would have killed themselves, right? Instead, the historical record shows the precise opposite. Childhood suicide was vanishingly rare until very recently, in correlation with the rise in trans affirmation. I'm not going to say that he's totally right on that point, but I will say that he's barking up the right tree, if you will. That we have a society that has largely given to there's no objective reality. A society that is rooted in objective reality is one that doesn't necessarily put pressure per se, but that there is some sort of actual compact that our society puts together. What the trans affirmation, the gender theory crowd wants to do is break that social compact, destroy the familial, the societal structure that exists today. Because in order for them to take power and to transform our society, they have to destroy it, right? What better way to destroy a society than to start this process, right? To start with the young people, to make them believe that society doesn't affirm them, that affirmation is the ultimate sign of progress. No, it's not. I want a society is the most dangerous thing to a child that could possibly exist. It's why I name it that, Pat. This I wanna be a girl today. I don't have to affirm that. I can say, oh, okay, so you want to play with a doll. Okay, you're a dude and you want to play with a doll. Go for it, right? You want to play with a doll instead of a tractor. So what? I'm not affirming that you feel like a woman. I am affirming that it is okay to be different. That's what I'm affirming.
Maybe this is a conversation for another time, but is this, wouldn't you say that this kind of mentality, this I want a mentality, is out of a society that has never really grown up? It's never really, it's a very childlike mentality right now within our society.
And I can point those roots back to the so-called counterculture of the 1960s, right?
Right.
In which many of our parents grew up in that society. And what was that society about, right? Smoke dope, drop out, to affirm whatever the hell I want to do, right? That's what that society was about. So we have parents and grandparents today whom were actually part of that culture. Notice how we are the counterculture today, Pat. That's the root. That is the root of it right there. The smoke dope and drop out crowd, right? And take acid and, you know, whatever, right? Do that so that you can be whomever you want to be. Look, I'm not saying as an adult you can't make those decisions and do what you want to do and do all of those things. But what many of those hippies, right, of that era figured out as they grew up, that is not actually a way to live life. You cannot possibly continue that for 40, 50, 60 years and expect to be productive in life and expect to have a life, right? Turns out living in a hippie commune comes with all of the same societal issues and structures that you're attempting to rebel against, right? It turns out that all of those things that you were sold by people like Manson, people like all of these hippie counterculture cult leaders, right? All the things that they sold you were lies, because there are objective truths. There is no subjective reality. This goes for the same thing as we're seeing in today's world, in the tech bro world, if you will, where suddenly there's no drinking in the office, but they're taking psychedelic drugs, right? They're doping up, and because it's going to free their mind to think of the next great thing, and they have to uncloud their mind of the drug of alcohol. And I will agree with them that alcohol does cloud your judgment, right? That is 100% true, because it is a suppressant. It retards your ability to use your motor skills and to think. But psychedelics are the answer. Free your mind, right? Drop out. And let's take psychedelics in the office and then make sure that we're, because that doesn't have any consequences, because that is the answer, right? Because you're seeking subjective versus objective realities. We're still seeing the manifestation of that culture. And that's ultimately what we have to defeat, is that I want a culture. That's ultimately the enemy at hand here. And as a libertarian, I think this next argument, Pat, this next objection to what, to the opposition of gender ideology and transing all the kids, right? The next objection to this position, why do you care so much? How many times as a libertarian do you hear this? Why should you care? And I see this all the time from the, because there are three really buckets of people that fit into the libertarian category. There's economic libertarians, there's social libertarians. I would argue that those are not actual libertarians. They are libertine. There's a difference between libertines and libertarians, a very important distinction. Libertines believe in no construct, believe in nothing. There are no rules. Libertarians should believe that there are rules, that there are structures in society, and that we can have an objective reality. But why do you care so much, right? This is, for me, what they're trying to do is to get you to surrender, right? Intellectual surrender. Why do you even care? It doesn't affect you. Bullshit, it doesn't affect me, and bullshit, it doesn't affect my kids or my family, or because we were also sold on this, right? We're told that it takes a village to raise a child, right?
Right.
I am part of that village then, right? So I should have a say, according to your own logic for the last 25 years. And by the by, remember BLM Inc.? They want to kill the nuclear family in favor of a community raising of a child. I don't have that child. That's not my child biologically. So even according to your own social compacts and your own belief systems, I am supposed to have a hand in raising that child, right? But I wanted to talk about this one because I think this is such a great idea. The article points this out. Walsh called this line of argument an intellectual surrender, and he's right, before arguing that it was trans activists themselves who were elevating the importance of this topic. You literally throw parades announcing your sexuality and gender identity to the world. You can't put something on a flag and then ask me why I care about it. You won't allow me to not care. It's just that you want me to care in the way that you have determined and arrive at the conclusions that you have pre-approved, right? And that's what I talk about when I talk about the I want a culture. Either you affirm every single thing that I want to do in society, or you're a bigot. That's ultimately where we're going here. And that is not a way that a society can function, at least one that is not going to murder itself at the end of the day. The decline of Rome came because it was a society that decided no rules, right? It was a decline of a society that decided to be antithetical to really the Christian church that they began to it was a rebellious a rebellion against that Christian faith, right? They had become so heathenistic, so antithetical to morality, that they were going to wipe themselves out. And they ultimately morphed into something completely different, whether they called themselves Roman or not. But again, you won't allow me to not care about this. I have to. The holiest, the highest that you can be in today's social structure is if you care, if you are emotive about these issues, and to not do that, right? Why do we see all of the things that we see during Gay Pride Month, right? We have a whole month dedicated to this. And if you don't have the right gay pride flag, right? Now, I will say this, Pat. I couldn't get the picture that I wanted to get because there was a tree in the way, but there was a local PetSmart here, literally like a 5-minute walk down the street from me, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have all the different services that they have, right? Advertised on the window, right? On the various windows. One of them says grooming. Right below the grooming was the pride flag during Pride Month. Could you get more accurate?
So 40 and slip much?
I have to care, right? I have to care, but only in the way that you want me to care. Only if I affirm. And this is the problem, right? This is our problem societally. I have to affirm, otherwise I'm a bigot. No. There's an objective reality here. There's a way that I would like. I have to affirm your way of life, but you sure as hell are not going to affirm mine, right? I believe in a Christian Bible. I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ and my Catholic faith, right? Affirm me, bitches. You won't do that, right?
It would be like me trying to make you affirm to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In many respects, right?
Because why? Because it's a religion to these people. This is a religious cult. Okay? This is religion to them. And if we don't understand that, we don't understand the battle that's in front of us. Okay? Because they want to murder your beliefs. They want to literally make sure you bend the knee or die. That is as simple as it comes to them at the end of it. Because what else do we see, right? Eating the Bible, all of these things. We talk about the demonic nature of all of this, right? We talk about how do you get to that point? You are so full of hate and rage, right? That your answer to people who don't think like you is to want to physically murder and harm them, to literally rip the pages symbolically out of the Bible and eat them. What else is that than a symbolic manifestation of rage and murder? That's what that is. And yes, I am being 100%. I'm not being hyperbolic about that.
This is a rhetorical flourish.
He continues, though, to say, right, after saying that that you have to have a pre-approved conclusion. He continues saying, you don't have a problem with the fact that I care. You have a problem with the conclusions that I have drawn. He does then conclude by stating that he was so invested in this topic because the truth matters, and that is the ultimate answer to this objection. Objective truth trumps subjective truth every single time. I do not have to affirm your feelings because you feel them. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Can I empathize with something that you might be going through? Can I listen? Yes, I can do that. But that doesn't mean that I have to affirm that. That's like a parent saying, oh, you know what? You want to go smoke drugs, right? You want to go shoot up heroin. Go for it. Because that's how you feel. Hell no. Why? Because I want you to be as happy and healthy as possible. And shooting up heroin ain't a way to be happy and healthy. Now, he continues to say, it matters more than your ideology. Meaning the truth. It matters more than your preferences. It matters more than your self-identification. It matters more than your feelings. The truth matters more than anything. It matters more than your life and more than mine. And I agree with that. We are at that tipping point, right? We're at that T teeter-totter moment where it's 50-50 and which way is it going to go. The truth matters more than anything that I can talk about here. That's why we named the show Critical Thinking. Let's critically think. Let's get to the truth. Let's find that objective reality. Nothing can have meaning apart from truth. There is nothing to fight for except for truth. Nothing to live for except for truth, as Matt Walsh points out. There's no love without truth. We have talked about that, right? The number one thing that you can do to love somebody is to tell them the truth. Whether they accept it, whether they want to hear it, whether they're there in that space with you or not. Somebody in the throes of addiction. The number one thing you can do is speak the truth to them. The number one thing that you can do is to be truthful. Affirming their addiction does nothing but hurt and harm them. He continues, there's no love without truth. There's no joy without truth. There's no beauty without truth. There's no freedom without truth. There's nothing without truth. And that's why I won't give up for your sake or anyone else's. I can't put it any better than that, Pat. I don't know about you.
No, I don't know if I could.
The most loving thing that God did was give us the truth of Jesus Christ, right? His life, death, and resurrection. The truth, the ultimate truth that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, rejected that truth over and over again. Those that didn't reject that truth lived in love, lived in happiness, lived in all of those things, right? That's why this battle matters. Otherwise, this is going to be one of the most miserable societies. You want to talk about how China wins? You want to talk about how the enemy wins? They don't even need to do anything. Why do you think they haven't attacked, right? Why do you think these things haven't gone on? We're killing ourselves. Our society is falling apart. Our ability to become or to actually be strong. That's the ultimate truth that Bin Laden had right in being able to attack the United States of America and in attacking the Western world. He saw that we were weak culturally, that we were weak mentally, that we were weak as a society. He was right. We didn't have what it took to go over there and just literally obliterate that entire freaking country. We are still to this day, we got to have the pinpoint precision in this and that, right? Where are the cojones of our society? They're gone.
I mean, It's like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire fell from the inside. We are a modern day Roman Empire. We're falling from the inside. I don't think there's ever going to be an external force that takes out. Right, you know, it won't be an external force that takes out the United States or takes out America. It will be us.
Absolutely,
from the inside out.
History doth repeat itself.
Well, I mean, the mentality that we have in our culture is a cancer.
Yep. Well, it's not cancer. It's demonic. That's what we are witnessing. And we are unwilling as a larger society to have that fight. That's the reality. And that's what we're ultimately trying to get you to realize. That, well, we're still dealing with the nicer than Jesus crowd, if you will, right? Jesus was all love. Hell no. Jesus was all about truth. And sometimes that truth was really harsh. And sometimes that truth was really freaking violent. And if we're unwilling to fight, if we're unwilling to stand, if we are unwilling to say hell no to the barbarians at the gate, they're just going to eat you. That's what's going to happen, folks. And I, for one, don't want that. I want objective reality back. I, for one, believe that, you know, freedom, that free markets, these are things that we are, that are worth fighting for. But we're at the base level here. We're at the base of, we can't even, one side believes that there's a family. The other side believes in no family. Like, we're at the very basics of society. We're not even at the, you know, the John Locke and all those other things. We're at the very bottom basics that we have to rebuild and fight for. That's what this represents. They don't want objective reality. They want their subjective reality. And if you're unwilling to fight for objective reality, I don't have time for you. Let's be honest about that. I have no time. And as I look at this fight, as I look at this worldview fight, I've let go of quite a bit of friendships in my life. And I'm perfectly okay with that. Why? Because I don't have time for people who don't get it. Can you be an acquaintance? Sure. But I'm not going to waste my time and my breath trying to play nice. If you don't like something that I've got to say, okay, that's fine. That's a you thing. That's not a me thing anymore. That's where I'm at. And if that ruins a friendship, so freaking what? You weren't my real friend to begin with. Real friends can disagree, right?
Right.
Real friends are not disagreeable. And real friends, by the way, believe in objective reality. If you believe, if you're on the team of subjective reality, you're not on the team of truth, and I've got no time for you. None. That's
well said.
And with that, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And the difference between Andrew, Andy, and Drew is professionalism, logic, and feelings.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.